not just Sinn Féin that have been bandying about this £750 million figure. The figure's been repeated time and time again to you, the public. In an Assembly debate just last week, this was what Dolores Kelly of the SDLP had to say.
So in total, as the excellent report by Nick Finn and others suggests, £750 million would be lost to the Northern Ireland economy.
Dolores just forgot to tell you that £500 million of that is already gone. Then her party colleague, Alex Atwood.
Tell the people who are going to lose £750 million in benefits. Tell all the small shopkeepers who are going to lose the business of those people who lose those benefits.
Alex Atwood forgot to tell you £500 million of it is already gone. What about Fergal McKinney?
We're being asked to deliver over £750 million of cuts as part of our contribution to over £19 billion that the UK government wants to save.
£500 million of it is already gone. What about Sinn Féin's Mickey Brady?
The minister then eulogised about what DSD has been doing for the poor population in the north. Not once did he mention the effect that these cuts are going to have on that poor population and how people are going to be affected. And, you know, he talked about the NICFA report, £750 million, that was inaccurate. But maybe he's doing his figures on an abacus frame, because as far as I'm concerned, the report is fairly accurate. In fact, it's probably a conservative, if you'll excuse the pun, estimate of what we might lose.
So conservative, Mr. Brady, that it's not £750 million in the future. NICFA, who you say is credible, is less than £200 million, they say. Gretty Horgan, lecturer in social policy at the University of Ulster. Good morning, Gretty.
Morning, Stephen.
You see, in itself, banding about figures doesn't really achieve much, but what this story this morning on Nolan Dawes do is it shows you what the public are being told by a lot of these politicians. And here's the question, is it true?
Well, you see, the problem is that both of them are right, really. There is £750 million worth of cuts in welfare reform over the last five years and over the next 2 years.
The current stalemate in welfare reform, Gretty, will not cost in the future £750 million. It will not.
No, it won't. It will, basically, what's before the Assembly at the minute, the universal credit changes, for example, won't involve any cuts. The cuts have already been made. The cuts to those benefits have already been made. So, universal credit isn't going to bring more cuts. What will bring more cuts, and this is what I found utterly depressing about the sort of bun fight that there's just been between Alex Maskey and Sammy Wilson, is that there's a massive cut yet to come, which is in GLA. GLA is being done away with, and a new payment called the Personal Independence Payment is being brought in instead. Now, that actually specifically is targeting people with mental health problems. The Tories have said, Westminster have said, that there should be a 20% cut in the proportion of people who get GLA when they move to PIP, and that these should be overwhelmingly people with mental health problems. Now, in Northern Ireland, we have a huge population of people, because of the Troubles, because of the legacy of the conflict, these people are victims of the conflict, and their mental health is shot right through. We know it. We've got very clear figures about it. Colleagues in the University of Ulster have shown the levels of PTSD that there is in Northern Ireland. And instead of standing together and saying to David Cameron, look, this is not special pleading for Northern Ireland just because, oh, poor us, but rather this is actually what you can expect in a region that is coming out of 40 years of conflict. You can expect there to be more disability. You can expect there to be more mental health problems. And you cannot cut the income of victims of the Troubles. We won't let you. That's what they should be doing. They should be standing together and saying that, and they should be saying that actually we need in Northern Ireland, because of the outworkings of the Troubles, to actually not have that massive 20% cut for mainly aimed at people with mental health problems. Now, that's actually, it's disgraceful, I thought, that they were arguing the way that they were instead of actually standing together and arguing on behalf of their constituents.
So where should this go from here, Gretty?
Well, I really think that what they should be doing is they should be gathering the evidence, which is there for them. Like I say, it's been provided by, you know, a whole range of academics into the state of disability and ill health. 1 in 10 of our population in Northern Ireland get DLA. Now, it's not easy to get DLA. And and 3% of them, that's 3%, you know, 3% of that of the people who get DLA get it for reasons of mental ill health. They really need to be explaining to the British government, look, in a region coming out of conflict, everybody would expect there to be more people with disabilities and more people suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. These are victims of the Troubles. We are told by the Westminster government, and we're told by our own politicians, that they want to look after the victims of the conflict. Well, here's a chance for them to look after the victims of the conflict.
Can we, using your expertise, Gareli, can we afford, given that if we say no to the welfare reforms, we've got to pay for it, the principle of parity, can we afford to do that?
Well, you see, the problem is that they haven't, it seems to me that they haven't actually tried hard enough to actually stop it happening. Because let's be honest, what will happen if they get rid of, you know, the cut comes in that they're talking about in relation to DLA? It would mean that there would be more people with mental health problems who will need hospitalisation. It'll mean that there'll be more people with disabilities who will actually need social services to help them instead of, you know, because with stuff that they're able to provide themselves at the moment using their DLA. It will actually have a knock-on effect in other ways on other budgets. So if we don't get away without paying for it anyway, you know, if 10% of our population are sick and disabled as a result of the conflict, what are we supposed to do, you know, when you take away their money from them?
Okay.
Other services will have to move in. So the idea that somehow or other, you know, we are going to escape paying for this in some way, it's just nonsense. Of course, we are going to have to look after those people. And I don't know, you know, what everybody who's kind of saying, oh, you know, we just have to accept it, thinks that those people are supposed to do.
Okay, Gareli Horgan, thank you. You're reacting to this morning, 08459 555 678. Trevor's on the line. Morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead. What do you make of all of this?
You know, I think the people of this country are getting probably exactly what they deserve by voting when they vote orange or green and not on subjects that really matter to the running of the country.
You know, Alex Maskey was saying this morning that, you know, he thinks we're just here for a show and we need a proper conversation. I'm sorry, but it's absolutely a function of this show to analyse figures that the public are being given and to ensure that those figures are accurate and the public actually understand what the figures mean. And when you have politician after politician making it sound like the consequences of not implementing welfare reform is a bill for £750 million in the future, and quoting NICVA as the source of that, it is absolutely the function of this show to point out that is not true.
Well, Stephen, I fully agree with you. It's the function of your show, but what I would like you to do is rewind back to the last time that this country had an opportunity to vote. We are the people who vote these idiots into government. These people are not capable.
Well, there's nothing to be gained from calling them idiots. They are voted by the people.
Okay, they're voted by the people. And maybe it's the people who look at themselves. They should maybe look at themselves as to why they vote them in. We vote them in on one subject and one subject alone. We vote them in on orange or green. We don't vote them in for the good of our health, for the good of our education. We vote them in purely on orange and green. And we do not have the expertise in these parties to run a country.
Look, if you listened to yesterday's show and if you heard that little montage we played, the first montage we played with Sinn Féin's Phil Flanagan this morning, there are many, many different smaller festival groups throughout Northern Ireland and all of those type of groups which are now under threat because of a funding crisis. And it is Sinn Féin's analytical position that the representative they put up on the programme yesterday didn't even know the names of the festivals, and in terms of the money that he would take away from one of the events, the golf, he didn't even know the name of the event.
No, he didn't, Stephen. But I wouldn't be on to criticise one party or another party. You could run a montage from any of your mainstream larger party on many of their politicians who don't know what they're talking about. You're talking about the Sinn Féin problem there this morning, but you could run many a montage over the last number of years from any of those parties. And those politicians, they didn't go into government. They didn't stand for election to run a country. They stand for election on orange and green. The more staunch they are, the more votes they get.
But Sinn Féin is trying to convince the electorate, not just up here in Northern Ireland. They're trying to convince the electorate down south that they are a capable party, capable of running an economy. And the person they put up yesterday is basically saying about taking money from the Gulf something or other. Quote, the Gulf something or other.
Absolutely, Stephen. I agree 100% with you. But my problem, as I say to you, my problem is I have a child, a two-year-old and a child, a four-year-old. And what future do I see for those kids being brought up in another 30 years of standing for orange or green? It's the actual fundamental issue that needs sorted in this country, and by voting purely on orange and green.
Okay, so Trevor, thank you. Here's David in Mullyle. Morning, David.
It was just a point I wanted to ask Trevor there.
Yes, well, Trevor's still there.
Wait, I would like to ask Trevor, who are we going to vote for?
Well, that's another thing that I've already thought about. The people who would want to stand for election in this country and have the intelligence to run this country are far too intelligent to even put their name forward, because they know they have absolutely no chance.
The point they're trying to make, every time that something comes on, that something that's stupid that the politicians do, it's we vote them in. But we don't vote them in. It was only 47% of the population voted in the last election, which left 53% of the people who doesn't want any sort of orange and green. And probably 47%, maybe 15-20% of them don't even want orange and green. They're just voting the party in to keep the other party out. It's as simple as that. But this thing, like, we vote them in. Hey, what are you going to do? Just everybody stop voting altogether?
Well, everybody stop voting altogether is not the way forward. But perhaps it's time for there's some other political party or something else to be formed with the people. But it's you're banging your head against a brick wall. Because, one side won't take the chance. One side will not take the chance. If the side voting orange think, well, we take the chance on voting sensibly, then the side taking the green are going to win everything, and vice versa. So they will not take the chance due to a lack of...
You've got a statement there from Jim Wales about this abortion thing and about alcoholics and all. I mean, he's taking a stand on the principle of his religion. So does he therefore agree with what ISIS are doing? They're beheading charity workers in Syria.
Well, obviously he doesn't. Obviously he doesn't.
Well, I mean, he's taking a stand on religious belief, Stephen. So
it's a totally different faith, for goodness sake. Don't be ridiculous. Okay, here's Robert in Belfast. Morning, Robert.
Good morning, Stephen. Listen, I think you were kind of unfair with regard to that gentleman yesterday who didn't have the figures. being inaccurate is not sort of kind of... being untruthful in the sense of the word stumbling about trying to find any kind of answer. You know, I mean, you need to give people a chance. You know, you're a blood and thunder program.
You're not suggesting he's being untruthful. He didn't know the figures.
I didn't say he was untruthful. I'm not saying
he didn't know the figures.
But that doesn't mean to say you have to create that kind of situation around him where you make him look really stupid, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you're not happy unless you get blood and guts and everything else. And you'll agree with people when they talk about these stupid people on the hill, they're thick. And then the next thing is you're talking about them, well, they need a chance, they deserve an opportunity. I think they deserve an opportunity. And I don't vote for DUP, but I think they deserve an opportunity.
So here's the score, Robert, right? Just let me put this point to you, all right? Here's the score. This £750 million figure has been bandied around by Sinn Féin and indeed the SDLP, okay, for many, many weeks now, all right?
Yes.
The NICFA have said... it does not reflect the reality of the situation going forward. It is based on a report that is a year old. The 750 million includes 500 million that has already been taken away. And this is all I'm saying to you, Robert. Of course you can give me a hard time for giving the politicians a hard time. No problem at all, right?
You're not giving them a hard time, right, Stephen. But you're actually going beyond that.
Right, but here's what I'm saying to you, all right? If you think I'm going beyond what I should... what actually happens to the person that's losing his job because of all of this? What happens to the person that's losing his benefits because of all of this?
I agree entirely with what you're saying, but it doesn't help the situation when you rip them apart like that. You know what I mean? You have to give them a chance. I mean, you more than anybody else know what the political situation is here in Northern Ireland. I mean, when Peter Robinson made the mistakes, you didn't rip him apart like that.
I'm not too sure the DUP would agree that I'm lightweight with them, but sure.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not inferring that for one second. I'm just saying on a particular occasion, sometimes you take people to task and you go over the top. That's all I'm saying. You know?
I think you're entitled to that view. All I'm saying is this not so important? One of the biggest policy decisions that this country will make for a long time. Is it not really important that the parties have their figures crunched out so that they absolutely are completely sure what they're talking about and what they're basing their decisions on?
I agree entirely with you. Alex Maskey said, look, if the figures are in Hansford, go and check them. And if you do that, you can have a good argument tomorrow if Alex Maskey is right. And he's a man of integrity. I would be inclined to believe him.
Yeah, but what Alex Maskey also said was, you know, he's been talking about 450 million and he just kind of threw away the fact that Pat Doherty, Mickey Brady, Sinn Féin's Twitter account and Derry, Phil Flanagan, they're all using a different figure.
Well, the information is obviously inaccurate. And, I mean, the authority or whoever produced those figures should be brought to account for it because they never modify okay. them or change them or apologise for the alterations. And they heard all of this going on because obviously if they can put those figures together, they listen to your programme and they listen to debates on a regular basis. So don't only fault the people who didn't have all of the information.
OK. Robert, thank you. Morning to you.